Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you again on this Lord's Day morning. We've seen some faces that have been absent because of illness or other things, and that we're glad that you're back with us today. There are some folks that are not here, and we miss them very much. But it's good to be here on the Lord's Day, isn't it? It's good where we can be together on the Lord's Day and do the things that we would normally do in worshiping our God. And I will say this, we're starting out a new year, and we're looking at lessons on improving our lives. And everything that actually, the first four Sundays of this month, are actually geared to help us improve collectively. We can improve individually with each one of these things when it comes to our commitment last week. This week we're going to be talking about attendance, actually. And we think that often is a individual matter, and in many ways it is. But I want us to look at it collectively this morning and understand it in those terms. And we're going to do something a little bit different when it comes to attendance. I'm not going to tell you that you have to be here, but I think you're going to want to be here when we're through. And one of the things that when we look at this is it's really time. We take the time to improve our attendance. We assemble here at Park Hill on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study. We come here at 10:15 for worship. We assemble again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And then we assemble again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And we do this every week. But all you have to do is look up here on the board, and you can look at our attendance, and you can see the drop-off between Sunday morning and Sunday night, which is not unique to Park Hill. It's that way wherever you attend. Nobody maintains 100% attendance all of the time. I want you to think about this in terms, though, this morning, of what we miss when we're not here. It's going to be a little bit different in that aspect, but before I get into that, I want to present a few scenarios to you. The word Christian around the world is used in a very broad scope. People will tend to use that. You ask them if they're a Christian, it's very likely that they're going to tell you that they are. And there are individuals out there that when you think about being a Christian, they are Christians to different degrees. And especially when it comes to attending a place of worship. You might have those individuals that you might call your annual Christians. Your annual Christians are those that will attend once a year, and they sometimes seems like they flip a coin. They'll either be there Easter or Christmas for a service. Then you've got your semi-annual Christians, and those are the ones that you generally attend only on Christmas and Easter. They might mess you up and come some other time, but most often they don't. You have what I would call your once-in-a-while Christian, and they're the ones that you see every once in a while. It's plain as like it says. They show up, but their attendance is so sporadic, you'd never know when they're going to be there. You also have the Christian that you might call the fair-weather Christian. And that's the Christian, that's the individual that claims to be a Christian, but they're the ones that attend services when everything is going well in their lives, but when things turn sour and go south on them and they start having difficulties, they don't look for the support of the brethren that they have. They only show up when things are going great in their lives. Then you have the Sunday morning-only Christian. You have those individuals that the only time that they show up is they show up on Sunday mornings. They don't show up at any other time to be with brethren during the week. They don't attend gospel meetings or anything like that. Sunday morning is their only time of worship. Sometimes I wonder about that. I wonder about all of these that I've just mentioned right now and what it is that makes them feel that's serving God. Now, I know that some of the things that I'm going to suggest to you this morning may be subjective in some way, but I'm going to try to back them up with Scripture as we look at them. And I think we know people like this. And let me put it this way. Denominational world has the same problem. But for us that believe that we are children of God, true children of God, I think it's time for us to take a look at ourselves. I will say this. Then you've got those that are the I have to be there Christian. They're the ones that simply feel that it's a burden, but they're going to be there because I have to be there. What I really want us to become is this last one. What I really want to encourage you to be in everything that you do when it comes to your service to God is the I want to be there Christian. The I want to be there. As my father-in-law used to say it on Sundays when it came time for services, it's not I have to go, it's I get to go. And that's what I want us to be. I get to be there. I get excited. I really do. And you say, well, Brian, you're the preacher. You're going to be excited about those things. No, I get excited for Sunday mornings and every time that I can come together with my brethren. I want to be there. I want to see your faces. I want to shake your hands. I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage me. And that's where we want to be when it comes to our service. See, assembling together is a collective thing, something that we get to do together. Next week, we're going to talk about improving our worship. And the reason I put attendance first is if we're not here, we can't worship together. We can't improve our worship together. And so I want you to seriously consider this morning and look at it from this standpoint. What do I miss when I'm not here? And so I want you to think about those things. I'll tell you this right now. Last Sunday was hard on me. And not because I was in pain physically. I really didn't want to miss Sunday night. I want to be here. I know that there are times when we're going to be sick and there are people sitting in here in this audience this morning that are probably experiencing physical pain right now, but you've managed to be here. Why? Because you wanted to be here. You didn't want to miss the assembling of the saints together. You didn't want to miss worshiping God together and giving glory to His name. But when we're absent, whether it be for whatever reason, when we're absent, what do you miss when you're not here? Well, I want to begin by telling that you miss information. And I'm not talking about Carl or one of the men getting up here making announcements before services start and you get the news and notes of the congregation. That's information, but that's not the information we're talking about. When I'm thinking about this, we're missing Bible classes. We're missing time where we study together. We're missing sermons. We're missing the Lord's Supper talks. And, you know, we only do that on the first Sunday. We have a first Sunday of the month. There is a specified time for the Lord's Supper talk. But I promise you, if one of the men up here on Sunday morning, any Sunday morning, decided to do something besides start off with prayer and say something about the Lord's Supper that would be acceptable. But we miss the encouragement of surrounding the table together and communing with God and one another when we're not here. We miss the information of midweek Bible studies, little devotional talks on Wednesday evenings, the young men that participate and give invitations on Wednesday nights. You miss those. And you also miss gospel meetings where that proclamation of God's Word is concentrated in that week's period of time that we normally set aside twice a year to do. Everything that we do, everything that when we come together is designed for a purpose. I thank you for the prayers, Mick and everybody else that prays for the person that is giving the lesson that morning. Because what we should be doing is breaking to one another the bread of life. Opening our Bibles together and studying from them. And here's what I want us to think about. This information that we receive should be like the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 105. It should be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathways. It should be that thing that takes us from this building when we leave today out into the world and is our guide. It should be something that actually truly encourages us. That we take heed to the word that is preached. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. What we're told there. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the information that we should be receiving every week. This message of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for all men, this message of this gospel of encouragement to remain faithful in our daily living. Encouragement that brings us to want to be together and hear the information that God sets forth in His holy word. I want to suggest to you that you miss something else other than just information. You also miss association. Like I said at the very beginning, I truly miss last Sunday evening. I know I was in pain last week, and there's a chair up here for me to be able to sit down on if I need to again a little bit later on in this lesson. But I want you to know that I made it through last Sunday morning. I thought I was going to be back Sunday night until I stepped down from this pulpit. And I had to call Ron when I got home. I didn't even go to lunch with Cindy and her mother and all the others that might have gone to lunch together. I went home. And I called Ron and left him a message. And he was kind enough to stand up here and fill in for me last week. I missed being here. Not because I thought I had a real good lesson, because you're going to get to hear that one tonight. I'm just going to preach it, even though I didn't preach it last week. But because I missed you, I missed the time that we spend together in worship. This information, we teach and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but it's the association of brethren. I miss that. I crave that, and every one of us should crave that. Every opportunity that we have to come together should be an open door for us to understand that just like the Christians of the first century, as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers, that's what we should be doing also. I really think that you think about these people in the first century, what was their desire? Their desire was to be with one another. And how did they do it? If you continue looking at Acts chapter 2, steadfastly, but they did it daily. And we're not even asking you to do that daily, are we? They knew the importance of Christian fellowship. They knew the importance of association with one another because we're stronger together than we are apart. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it gives us an opportunity to understand that we can be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And we can do that by showing up. We do that by being here. You not only miss information and association, you miss the provocation. I thought about this when I was putting this note up here on there. It says we need to be provoked. And I said sometimes we need to be poked. But we need to be provoked, stimulated to do what we already know is right. Because you think about what's stated in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now, yes, you can write someone an encouraging note. You can send them, call them on the phone and encourage them. You can do all of those things daily too. But when we are here together collectively, we are taking in consideration each other. And not just ourselves. I'm going to repeat this again. I love being here because of you. I get excited about being here because of you. Our assemblies, we lift each other up. We encourage one another. We hold each other up. We are renewed in the Spirit by being here. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You've got this provocation that needs to take place in our lives. The inspiration that comes along with it. We get our spiritual batteries charged for the week on Sunday mornings. enables us to get up and go to work the next day and know that God is with us. But you know what? This provocation and this assembling together, the other thing that gets me excited is not only that you're here, is that if we are worshiping our God in spirit and in truth the way He's commanded us, it means that He is in our midst. And there should be no greater motivation than to be pleasing to God. We lift each other up in our assemblies. Coming together helps us face the world. We are renewed in the spirit of our minds, and the assembly aids us in this. You think about this. We often do things we do not or should not do, but we know what it means to be provoked. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, is how that verse starts out. And by our coming together, that is exactly what we are trying to do. We are trying to exhort one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 also goes on to say, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. But that exhortation, that encouragement that you receive, that provocation to be a good child of God, to live righteously in a wicked world, should be important to us. You also miss the edification that comes along if you're not here. We have a responsibility to be here to build each other up. Remember, love is what we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is what edifies. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. It's that love we get to share with one another also, that while we're here, that helps strengthen us. We have to use our abilities to help strengthen the saints. We need to understand that it's available, or we help together in the work of ministry. One of the things that I mentioned in the Bible class this morning from Philippians chapter 4 is the fact that the Apostle Paul relied upon others when he was working in Christ in the gospel. He needed men like Epaphroditus. He needed a Titus and a Timothy. He needed a Barnabas and a Silas and everybody else that ever would have joined him. Those who he claimed in Philippians chapter 4, Euodia and Syntyche, women that helped him. Clement helped him. There were men that people that he mentions at the close of all of his epistles about those individuals that were ministering to him and helping him with the gospel. They were strengthening him. They were encouraging him. We do that very thing when we come together on the Lord's Day. And whether we think about it or not, realize it or not, when we use our abilities, we're doing that very thing. When we come together, we are equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Yeah. You see, this is a one another activity. And that phrase one another is used over and over again in the New Testament. And edifying and strengthening one another is just that. It is that one another activity that we can use. And our withholding our presence does not encourage or edify our brethren. We also miss out on immunization. Why do you go to the doctor? Why do you get flu shots? Why do you go to the doctor and get your pneumonia shots or any of the vaccines that we've ever received in our lifetimes? For purpose of immunization, so we do not come down with that disease, that illness. You come here on the Lord's Day, and you praise God in song. You lift up your voices in prayer together. You worship God Almighty. And it gives you an immunization against the world. Because the world itself is often a hard place to live for Christ. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, we're told, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." I heard Peter on the day of Pentecost tell those people there that day that they needed to save themselves from a perverse generation. We need to be able to do the same things. And when we come together, we receive that type of immunization that allows us to live in the world but not be part of the world. We get a vaccine called the gospel every week when we come together. We can do, and we inject ourselves with strength at every service, an injection that helps us fight off sin. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. If you go ahead and you can open your Bibles there and think about Jeremiah for just a moment. A young man who's going out to prophesy to a people who are not going to be readily willing to accept what he has to say. It's going to be a difficult task at hand, and God has told him already early in this chapter, said, "Do not be afraid of their faces." Why? Because God was with him. But you listen to these words. "For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." You receive that type of strength when you come here. That immunization that shields you from sin, that enables you to hold up that shield of faith to protect you on a daily basis. And attending all the services strengthens our spiritual health. Psalm chapter 42 and verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." Think about this. We have no reason as children of God to be down in the dumps on a regular basis. Our hope is in God. And because of that, we come together to praise Him. And we receive the help from God. So let me ask this. Who thinks he or she is better equipped to fight alone than with the collective help of their brethren? Who has a special strength that they can withstand everything all by themselves, when the true strength that we need comes from God and by God's design when we come to assemble together? You miss joy, jubilation. There's nothing as seemingly miserable as the Christian who feels that it is his duty to come to services. That's all it is. It's a drudgery because I have to be there. And I'm sorry, we've got to get past that point in our lives. It's more than just an obligation. And yes, we are obligated to God, and I'll talk to you about that on the next slide. But it's more, simply more than just an obligation. It is truly telling us where our heart is when we say, "I have to be there," versus "I want to be there." David said it, I think, the best in Psalm chapter 122 and verse 1. And this is really how I try to approach every time that we come together. "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" I was glad when I got up this morning and I knew it was time to assemble with the saints. I was glad when I got into that car, even though it was 20 degrees outside, and knew that I was going to be able to come to a building like this and I was going to see smiling faces. People who love God. People who wanted to serve Him. People who adore Him and want to honor Him with their presence and their worship. See, when we move past the "I have to be here," and get to that point of I want to be there. And we become fully engaged in everything that surrounds us while we're here. It is a time of joy. The preacher will never beat you over the head with his Bible. You may get your toes stepped on from time to time, but it will be done out of love and a concern for your soul, and it will be done, I will try to do it with a smile on my face. But because I'm glad to be here, and I want you to feel the same way, and I know your brethren want you to feel the same way. You think about this. The excitement of baptisms. Those who come forward asking for prayers bring joy to our hearts, doesn't it? And then see the encouragement when new Christians participate in worship. And you see young men like John and the other young men get up here and participate publicly in worship. To see all of those types of things taking place, and to see you by your examples. Not just your words, but your actions, your attitudes for being here. It makes us glad that we are here. But don't forget, you do have obligation. You miss that opportunity that you have with God. We are mutually accountable. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says this, but exhort one another daily. Like I said, the first century Christians really knew the essence of being a child of God and thought it was important to be together regularly. Not simply because we're commanded to be together and come together on the first day of the week, but they knew the strength and the encouragement that would come from it. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, here we are. That encouragement to live a faithful life not only comes from God's Word, but it comes from one another. When you think about Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, where it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It provides us that opportunity to be a forgiving people, a loving people. And yes, we are truly indebted to God. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 12 and going through verse 14. Paul tells us, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are indebted to God for sending His Son into this world. We are indebted to God that He went to the cross and died for our sins. We will never be able to repay Him for what He has done for us, but we still are indebted to Him. But I don't want that debt to be my only motivation. That's pretty strong motivation, but I still want to be here. And yes, we are commanded in Hebrews chapter 10 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, is what the writer there says. But you have to go back to verse 24 and understand that if those individuals in verse 25 are forsaking the assembling, they're not taking into consideration their brethren in verse 24. Let me tell you this. The empty pew screams. It isn't just silent, it screams from your absence. And you need to know you're missed. You need to know that your brethren long for your association. You need to know that you can be strengthened by being here and you can be an encouragement to others when we don't see you. We can't receive your strength and we can't impart our strength to you. None of these obligations come with an expiration date. We consider those, sometimes those obligations, we consider those who shirk their obligations to be irresponsible when it comes to things in the world. What obligation outweighs the one laid upon us by our Lord? I don't think there is any. And I want to just you to think about a few things as we close. I will miss this if you're not here. As iron sharpens iron, so sharpens the countenance, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. We make each other stronger. We are stronger spiritually when we worship God together. Therefore, we should long for those occasions. We should have that desire to be there when the church gathers to worship. And yes, Scripture provides ample encouragement, and I believe it provides an unavoidable conclusion that we should want to be together with Christ because He is in our midst and His people at every opportunity. In Colossians chapter 3, and verses 1 and 2, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not things on the earth." I love the way we start our assemblies. Let's remember why we're here. Focus on why we're here. What we're doing is we're taking our mind off the things of the world and we're setting them on things above. And so, go ahead and take out your songbooks. For 2016, plan to be here. Want to be here. And when you're here, be fully engaged. Know what's going on around you. Participate in the assembly. Talk and share with your brethren. Want to be God's people and want to be with them. All right, if you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to become one. If you are an erring child of God, we also want to encourage you to do that which will reconcile your life back to God. Come back into that relationship with Him. Understand that your brethren love you and they will encourage you. Forgiveness is always there. But seek the Father in all things. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation this morning and we can help you, won't you come? It's together we stand and as we sing.